on a message and called Steps to Daily Victory, or Steps to Daily Success, found in 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. I think that you will be blessed by this message. I believe you will. I want to read several scriptures here just to give you a different rendition of the scripture. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, it says, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong." Obviously, you can see there's four steps there. Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. That's the NLT. The next one, be on guard, stand firm in your faith, in God, respecting his precepts and keeping your doctrine sound. Act like mature men and be courageous, be strong. The third one is the Amplified version also, but in a different rendition of it. Be on guard, stand firm in your faith, in God, respecting his precepts and keeping your doctrine sound. Act like men and be courageous, be strong. So basically, we find here that there are four steps that are given to us to live by, to abide by every day in our life. And sadly to say, and I don't want to speak on sadness today at all, I want to bring a message of encouragement to you, a help. But sadly to say, people don't live in these four steps every day. They don't. Paul, as a military person that he often represented himself as in his writings, he exhorted to be on guard. Be on guard. In the New King James Version, in the King James Version, in the Modern English Version, the word is, it states, watch. Watch. Wake up every day and be on guard. And you may say, well, you know, I'm guarded by Jesus every day. I don't have to do that. No, there's a responsibility in our life to be on guard, to watch what's going on every day. Don't put everything on God. Don't be like children in a home that feels like mom and dad has to do everything and all they have to do is wake up and go to bed. How many know what that's like in some houses? But in all reality, you need to watch. We need to watch every day. We need to be on guard against spiritual enemies, against the devil, against those things, those powers and principalities that try to tear us down, speak into our lives. We need to guard our minds. We need, in other words, be on the watch against these spiritual influences that aren't from God. They're negative. And in other words, don't be napping in your Christianity. Don't be asleep. You know, it's amazing that we have to think like this, but if you look and understand that, you know, we can actually say, wake up. Wake up, church across the nation of America. Wake up. Get the joy back in your life. Get the power of God back in your life. Get the fire burning again like it once burned in your life. Don't go silent and don't go deep on God. Enter his courts with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto God. You know, noise is noise. Quietness is quietness. Stillness is stillness. But the Bible even says that all creation praises God. Join with creation. Join with the harps and the lyres and the cymbals. Worship God. Praise him. Be awake. What did Jesus say in Matthew 26 and 40? Then he came to the disciples and found them what? Sleeping in the most difficult time of his ministry. And let me just side note here. The church is in a very difficult time of our ministry throughout America, throughout this world. Jesus found them sleeping. He didn't say to them, oh, you're tired. I got you covered. Don't worry. I'm about to go to the cross. I'm about to be beaten to a pulp. I'm about to hang on a cross in front of all these people on Friday. And I'm not going to look good. And I'm going to be hanging there and I got to drink sour vinegar. I'm going to be mocked. I've got to carry a cross up the Via Dolorosa to where I used to lay hands on the sick and they were healed. I used to bring little children close to me that I would pray for them. I'm going to walk up the Via Dolorosa now and you're not going to recognize me because I'm going to be in a loincloth and I'm going to be so beaten that I'm going to have a personality come, Simeon the Cyrene come, and he's going to literally carry the cross for me in the last leg of it because I don't have any strength left. I'm going to just walk up there, but don't worry. I have you covered. Sleep on. No, he did not say that. He said, so could you not keep watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. When you look at the length of time that Jesus Christ walked upon this earth, you look at Jesus before he came to this earth as the creator of the heavens and the earth, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, declaring who men should be and who women should be, putting animals and fish in this, calling light out of darkness, drawing something where there was nothing and making it something, doing all that, he says 1 hour. Couldn't you just pray? Couldn't you stay at watch with me for 1 hour? I ask the church today throughout America, can you not just tarry 1 hour? Can't you spend an hour in prayer? Can't churches today close up the time that they have in the normality of their service and instead of having all that they do, close up and say, let's pray for an hour. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for missionaries. Let's pray for those people in devastation throughout the hurricanes across America today and the storms and the earthquakes. Let's pray for the rumors of wars that are about to, that are causing us to be in fear of what may happen if a nuclear bomb happens. Let's just close up our Bibles and let's pray not only for all that greatness that we just stated, but let's pray for our families. Let's pray for the churches across town. Let's pray for pastors across town. Let's pray for leaders in other churches. Let's pray for our government to be back in unity again. You know, let me just say this to you. Can we not just watch 1 hour? Can we not just be on God? We need to realize, church, that it's very important to be on guard. It is our responsibility as Christians to be on guard. Mom, Dad, it's your responsibility to be on guard for your children, to pray for them, to call out their name before the Father. It's your responsibility to enter into the throne room of grace, whereby you may obtain help and grace in this great time of need. It's your responsibility to praise God, to worship God, to come before God. It's our responsibility as a church to cry out, and individually, not only corporately, but to cry out to God in the day that we live in. Cry out for a spiritual awakening across America today. If there's ever a time in the history of the United States of America, these Americas that we claim as the United States of America, if there's ever been a time, it's now to cry out to God for the condition that we find ourselves in today, this very day, September 10th, 2017. Where we find ourselves caught is napping. sleeping. Wake up! Wake up! We need to wake up and pray against the sin that is running rapid throughout America. The sin that is running rapid in churches. The racism that is engulfing America in darkness like never before. Yes, I understand racism in the early days of slavery. And oh, how I even had a hard time saying that in my heart. It just tears me apart. But today, with the intelligence that we have and the knowledge that we have and the ability to learn through digital media and all the things that are right there in front of us, we have become racist. And that's what I mean about never before. Racism. Let's pray against it. Let's command that spirit to go, and let's be on guard against it, and let's watch that it does not happen, not only in our church, not only in our community, but not only in our homes. Words should never be spoken against another culture because their skin is a different color. No one knew what color their body was going to be. You showed up out of the womb of your mother who you are, and God has given you a destiny. You see, there's love that surpasses all understanding. There's a love, the Bible declares, that everything that we do, we should do in love. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Everything that we do, we should love our neighbor even as we love ourselves. So we need to be on guard. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us not sleep, but let us be alert and sober. Sober-minded, clear-minded, thoughtful, realizing our responsibility as Christians, as the body of Christ. Let's not be asleep in a time as this. Let's not be slumbering when we should be praying, when we should be leading, when we should be embracing people with the love of God, and we should be declaring the knowledge of His Word into the hearts of people, even our neighbors. We need to understand there's something more to just getting saved. There's something more than just looking to the coming glory. There's something more than just waiting for the rapture to happen. There's a responsibility. As long as we breathe air, we have a responsibility to watch, to be on guard. Secondly, stand fast in faith. Don't be unsettled in your mind. Don't be afraid to be firm in your convictions. Don't be like some and question everything into questions. In other words, do not wobble, or easier put, totter. Don't be wondering what I believe and what I don't believe. You know, I know who I am. I am Pentecostal. I know that. I know what I believe. I believe in the anointing, the power. I believe in the fullness of the gospel. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe what the Bible says is true. And I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. I am Pentecostal. I believe that. I know who I am. I'm not going to wonder one day, maybe this speaking in tongues isn't real. Maybe the laying hands of the sick is not real. Maybe the gifts of the Spirit aren't real. But I am wondering, if I may say this, because we are a church of God. We are a Pentecostal movement that's well over 100 years old. That we have history, in other words. We were birthed in history of Pentecost. We are Pentecostal. But yet when I see a lot of Pentecostals today, they do not act like or respond like or watch like or have a steadfast faith like a Pentecostal. I wonder if we have begun to wobble and totter in what we believe and what's easier for us to live by. I wonder if we forget what our identity is. Yes, our identity is in Christ Jesus. Our destiny is formatted by the Father. And the Holy Spirit walks along our side, the Parakletos. He comforts us and leads us into truth. Tells us of what's to come and reminds us of the teachings of Jesus Christ. But we are who we are when we say we are Pentecostal. We need to understand we're not a church of emotionalism, but we certainly aren't a church of silence. A church that doesn't say anything. A church that runs from maybe having the gifts of the Spirit in their life. I hunger for the gifts of the Spirit. I hunger for the move of God. I hunger for the presence of God. I hunger for the fire of God to be back at our altars again in the church of God. I hunger for the souls to come to a church, not because of performance, not because of dynamic worship, but because the fire of God was felt there, and that's what drew them to come to that church. Don't be drowsy. Don't be unstable. Infectious, or in other words, contentious. You know, what do people witness when they see you? A drowsy Christian? Unstable? Like the wave coming in and going out? Unstable in all its ways. Don't look at your life as just a mist that comes in and goes. Because as it is a mist now, as we are breathing air, it is important to God of who we are and what we must be. And we must stand fast in faith in what we believe. We are to know what we believe. We are to know it. Do you know who you are? Do you know what your identity is? Do you know what your destiny is? When you read Jeremiah 29 and 11, do you understand what it's saying to your life personally? We have to understand literally why we believe, and most of all, whom we have believed. Three things: what we believe, why we believe, and most of all, whom we have believed. I believe the report of the Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. I believe that He's the Savior of the world, and there is no Savior other than Him. I believe in the Holy Spirit of the living God. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, the initial evidence of such. I believe that there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's power in His name. Amen. What is Isaiah 26 and 3? The reason that we don't stand fast in our faith, and the reason is that we don't watch, and the reason we seem so restless all the time, movement in our minds all the time, where we don't find peace, and we're struggling every day, and we're ready to tell everybody about our problems instead of telling everybody about the praise of God. We have changed praise to problems. We have taken lack of potential and replaced power with that. Let me tell you something. What it says in Isaiah 26 and 3. You will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. You can look at it in one way, a mature peace. Or you can look at it in what it's spoken in Hebrew, where it really says a peace that is without movement. A peace that is centered. A peace that knows who their God is and what their God can do. Whose mind is stayed on you. That word stayed means that is focused only. It's like an anchor. Unmovable. because he trusts in you. You see, faith talks about trust. It talks about hope. It talks about conviction. It talks about what you may not see, you believe already exists. You believe it. You believe that God has promised you something. You believe that you're a born again Christian by faith. When you pray in faith and by faith. I've heard several Christians say in my walk with God that said, oh, by faith I received that. But don't lose it. Stand fast in your faith. Be so rooted and grounded in God's word is when the world sends its winds of oppression against you and you blow back and it's so hard to stand and your shield of faith seems to get dented. But when those winds are over, you stand right back up in who you are because your roots have never been uprooted. They are rooted in God's word. How marvelous that is. Thirdly, be courageous. Courage. Not wimpy. Not fearful. I've heard in the last 10 to 15 years of ministry, more people say, I'm so afraid. I fear this. The Bible's very clear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Why? Because I, the Lord, am with you. Read Psalm 91, 18 blessings and 16 verses that just protect you and bless you. Go to the Song of Ascents, Psalm 121, and see where your help comes from. And see how he walks with you and protects you and blesses you going in and going out. He's always there with you. Read Psalm 23. It's not just a psalm where people have a funeral service and they read that. That's a psalm of life. Read that. Read Psalm 1. Are you withering or are you flowering? Know that God is always with us. In Deuteronomy 31 and 6, be strong and of good courage. Have courage. Be courageous. You know, I know today we're living in this digital day. And I know today we have all these superheroes. Luke Cage and the Iron Fist. The Daredevil, Captain America. I tell you right now, we've got a superhero. Yeah. I love the t-shirt they're showing now. This is how I saved the world. And he's on the cross. Let me tell you something right now. He gave his life for us. He defeated hell, its flames, its lies, its power. He has defeated everything. He is alive forevermore in the bodily resurrection, and he is standing at the right hand of God right now, interceding for you and I. Amen. Praise God. He is alive. He is our God. He is our Savior. Be courageous. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yes. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, it is he who goes with you. Not a replica. Not something that somebody made and is selling as an original and you find out it's not. You call somebody, oh, I got this most beautiful coffee jar. It is so gorgeous. It's signed. And you take it to an antique dealer and you show him and he goes, yeah, that's not real. And you say, that's a reproduction? They said, yeah, because this is missing in this, and I'm sad you didn't see that. How much did you pay? I paid $350. It was worth $2,000. Well, it's worth $10. You paid $350, so you got to do something to make up $340. That's not God. He doesn't send a reproduction. He doesn't send a replica. He doesn't do that. He goes with us wherever we go. He will not fail you. And nor will he forsake you. The only one that will fail you is yourself when you are lacking in faith. Don't look to somebody else and say, you failed me. Don't blame somebody else. Even when people are failing you, you should stand strong in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk in the power of the Holy Ghost and have faith in the promises of God for your life. You are walking with the real thing. You are walking with God. Coke is not the real thing. God is real. Amen. He is real every moment of every day. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and be courageous? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want to remind you, I say this often, God does not live in churches, whether they are of brick or stucco or drywall or paint. Whether they have comfortable chairs or hard pews, whether they have fancy pulpits or not, whether they have awesome music or great worship, it doesn't matter. It does not live there because of that. He lives in us. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? That you've been bought with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. And you are no longer your own. We are God's possession. We are the children of God, brought in by the spirit of adoption, not by the spirit of fear, whereby we can all cry out, Abba, Father. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have been called friends of God. We need to know that he is with us wherever we go. You bring him to church, by the way. The question is, I wonder how many people go to church bringing their problems instead of God. That's an ouch moment there. Bring God to church. Because God can heal everything. He can take care of everything. He can do anything. Ephesians 6:10-13. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's nothing more mightier than God. You know, whenever the armies of the Philistines or the Amalekites or any other of the armies that went against God, when they saw the fire of God, when they saw the courage of the Israelites, they knew that there was something else there with them. When, you know, when Joshua and his armor bearer went up against those 40 to 60 men up there just on the top of the rocks and there was just two, they scattered them. Because they went up in faith. They went up in the power of God. They said, it doesn't matter who it is. We're going with God. When David faced Goliath, he simply said, I don't care. You can call me a dog all you want. It's not me you're offending. It's the God of Israel that you're offending. And bam, you're gone. Have that faith of that young man. Have the faith of a personality that simply believes God. Have the faith to pray. Have the faith to be on guard. Have the faith to be of good courage. Have the faith. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Friend, there's a great army out there that does not like us. But we got a greater God that when they see that we are strong in God, those armies back off. They back off. Don't mess with that one. Don't mess with it. You know, when I went to school in Bardstown, Kentucky, I came out of the streets in Cleveland. All I knew was fighting. I went to school there in Bardstown, Kentucky. I didn't know anything. I was from Cleveland, Ohio. I went downtown and all the townies, they wanted to fight us boarders all the time. But this happened all the time and I do not know why. But I can tell you it was real. They would walk into where we were sitting in a cafe or in the bowling alley downtown Bardstown. And they'd walk in, maybe 10 or 15 of them would walk in. And they'd walk in and they'd look at everybody and they'd always point at me. Don't mess with him. Everyone else go after, but leave him alone. We've heard of him. I don't know what they heard. But every time they said that, I would say, oh, thank you. That's wonderful. That's great. You see what I'm saying? The devil walks into your home. He looks around and all of a sudden he says, we're not staying in this home. This home is a praying home. This home is a fasting home. This home is a Bible reading home. This home is a home of faith. We're leaving here. Let's go somewhere else. Let me tell you, tell the devil, get out. Get back out of my way, because I'm coming through to my destiny. God's promises are sure and steadfast. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Every day I put on the armor of God. Every day. Because I know the enemy hits every day. I know that I'm already clothed in Christ Jesus. So do you. You know that you have put on Jesus Christ. But you need to pray. You need to ask God to strengthen you every day. Thirdly, be strong. Characteristic of Paul, he sees the Christian life as though he were in an arena. That's how he always saw things, that he was in a fight. I would love to see the body of Christ in America to again remember that we are in a battle. We're not just in this, I'm going to live an abundant life. Everything's going to be rich. I'm going to be wealthy. I've got 4 homes, 15 Mercedes, and a Maserati, and a Lamborghini that I ordered the other day. That is not what I'm living. I'm living in a fight. I'm seeing people in the Tenderloin that are broken. Broken. In pieces. I'm seeing people in San Pablo, in our own area around us, that are broken, that are in need of Jesus. We need to be strong. We need to understand we are in a battle for San Pablo. We are in a battle for the Bay Area. We are in a battle for Santa Cruz. We're in a battle for Monterey Bay. And we literally, if we will accept it and understand the responsibility, we are in a battle corporately with the rest of the body of Christ for the United States of America to once again be a Christian nation that stands on the Word of God and is a praying nation. Amen. I may get excited here in a minute, I'm not sure. But I mean to tell you right now that there's a God that's alive. The call to be people of courage and to be strong involves resisting pressure to mold ministry according to secular categories. Oh, and we are stuck there today. Ministries are molded around what the secular people think we should be like. I'm just going to tell you, sin is sin in God's eyes. We don't need to have the secular world tell us what our ministries are to be like. We need to be what God wants us to be. And we need to be literally good. You know, they want us to be polished and slick in oratory. That's what they want. They think that's great. Let me tell you something. The simplicity of these guys, these 12, these disciples that gave Jesus, I don't know if Jesus ever had a headache, but I'm just going to say he gave him a headache every day. They were just simple people. They weren't polished. They were simple. The apostles were simple, but they just believed to go out into the world and bring the gospel. They believed in the go of commission. The Great Commission. They believed in fulfilling what Jesus Christ said to do. We as a church needs to feel that we are literally coming together like military orders, suggesting that the church is an army and ought to act like one. Act like adults, in other words. Sometimes I think we want to be called children of God so much we forget that we are adults in God's grace and mercy. How we need exhortation today, tomorrow, every day. We need to be in the Bible, getting exhorted by the Bible, getting exhorted by the Holy Spirit in prayer, letting us know that we are adults. Ephesians in chapter 4, we read about it. We don't get to where we're going till we come to be one with Christ and become mature in Him, to be like Him. We need to understand there's a pattern to this Bible. There's a pattern to walk with Jesus. There's a pattern to be called who we are today. Too often the church does not have the discipline and maturity of an army at all. It has the discipline and the maturity of a broken group of people fighting for position and not knowing where they're going. Politics grasps the church. It becomes a political drama instead of a holy direction. It's who you know, not what you know. But Jesus wants it around the other way. It's what you know. You'll help then who you know. You see what I'm saying to you? We have to be strong in our convictions every day. I'm going to read some things to you. Number one, we need to pray. In other words, we need to speak with the King every day. Pray. Speak with Him. Good morning, Father. How are you doing today? Then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will start to stir your heart. Pray for this one. Pray for that one. Pray for this one. Pray for that one. I've been praying for you guys all week long. I've been praying for the whole family. I mean, every one of them is not in church. I'm praying for them to be in church. I'm praying for an anointing to fall on their life. I'm praying for God to bless them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to know that when I'm saying I'm praying, I'm praying. I believe in prayer, and everybody knows that about me. I believe in deep, concerned, passionate, compassionate, committed prayer daily to touch heaven, to touch the lives of those that God wants me to pray for. Amen. Pray, speak with the King. He wants to hear from you, by the way. I would say this to many people. He hasn't heard from you in a long time. He wants to hear from you. Read the Word. The Bible is great. Read it every day. Get on a disciplined reading plan. Read the Bible every day. Read whatever rendition you're comfortable with. But read the Bible. Let the Word of God fill your life with His spiritual food. Don't be starved. Know the Word. Memorize the Word. Write out a scripture. Type out a scripture. Do whatever you can. Have a scripture on your screen as your screensaver. Something that's there that reminds you of the passion, compassion, and commitment that God has for His church here on this earth. Thirdly, trust God. I trust Him. And there are things that He has asked me to do. You know, I do them because I believe God is my Father. I know people, and I'm ashamed to say this, that they'll only do what they want them to do, and themselves to do. Then they'll tell God this is what they want. When God says go, you need to go where God says to go to. You know, when you get to heaven is where it's going to be great, cool, great. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome. Here on this earth, we are in a battle. You need to go to where God wants you to go and do what God wants you to do. Don't worry about numbers. Don't worry about pay. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Just be who God is in you every day. Does that make sense? Oh, that the church would get back to that again. That they would understand that again. Live your life as God has commanded. I can only ask you today what God has commanded you. Live it. He's commanded me to be a preacher. He's commanded me to love the poor. He's commanded me to obey Him and love people. That's who I am. People have said, why is that guy so loud? Why is he so excited? I want to say, why are you so quiet? Why are you so dismal? Why are you so down? Why do you just sit there when the power of God is happening in the life of your heart and you're acting like, why is he so feisty? Let me tell you something, my friend. I'm on fire. Fire crackles. It burns. It's movement. It is really great. Praise God. You see, we have to live that life, what He has commanded us to be like and to do. Fifthly, have faith, conviction, and courage, because these are the essential ingredients to success and victory. Faith, conviction, and courage. You know, faith is just not Hebrews 11:1. It's a lifestyle. Hebrews 11:1 is a definition of your lifestyle. I got that. Do you get that? It's a definition of your lifestyle. That's why it follows with testimonies of lifestyles. Amen. Don't be like the disciples. When it gets tough, they all scattered. Hang in there with God. Do what God wants you to do and understand what God has you to do every day. Six, always realize that the Word of God lives in you. You know, it's there. And I sense God's Word in my life. I sense when something's going on in my life. When you say, Pastor, you're gifted and we've seen this. You know what? I'm not the one that's carrying all these gifts. The Bible never declares that only a few people will have certain gifts and that's it. And everybody else can be outside looking in. No, we're not talking about the Songs of Solomon here at all. Looking through the lattice, trying to get to the lover. No, this is not what's going on. This is what is the reality, is that there's something happening in you, and you know it's there, but you have to allow it to explode, to open up, to be part of your character, to be part of your life, and to begin to walk with God because He's living in you. Don't ever think God lives in a dead house. He lives in a house that is alive in power, alive in mercy. He lives in a house that's alive in love and compassion, commitment, conviction. And He lives in a house that is courageous. Seven, spiritual fitness requires watchfulness, firmness of faith, courage, and daily experience of the Lord Jesus' strength and power in our lives. You know, we have the pastor that attends our church who's here in the congregation today. Swimming in oceans, riding bicycles, running. That was last week or 2 weeks ago. Now, next week, swimming in oceans. You know what I'm saying? She's exercising. She's doing what she believes God wants her to do. She's not just doing this because she's doing it. Because this is an idea she had one day. Oh, that would be cool. Because if that was it, I would pull her aside and say, you need an aspirin. You need a something. You need to settle down. An ibuprofen, 12 of them, you know, that no. She believes God is using her in this way. She believes God is drawing her into something. She's trusting God that He's leading her down a path. You understand, you have to have this strength. You have to understand that there's this experience in God. There's a spiritual fitness that we all need to have. That's physical fitness, which is good. But my point being is we also have to have, and she also has, we have to have a spiritual fitness in our life. We need to be swimming in the oceans of God's love. We wouldn't even be running the race to win. We need to be riding along in life and pedaling through the things of life, knowing that even when the uphill climb comes, you may not have a gear low enough to go, but all of a sudden you feel God's hand pushing you from behind to go. You see what I'm saying? What's your spiritual fitness today? Let me close by saying this. John 16 and 33. I was so pleased that the Holy Spirit said to close with this last night when I was finishing up the touches of this after praying throughout the week. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He's saying goodbye to those guys. I've told you these things that you could have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. In other words, it's not going to be easy in the world. I don't know where everybody's getting off on all this prosperity gospel and all this other stuff. You know, I believe God favors. I believe God prospers. I believe God gives life abundantly. That's what the Bible teaches. But I don't believe that everybody is wealthy. I don't believe that everything you touch turns to gold. I believe God wants to show you favor every day, and I believe you have that every day. But believe me, there's tribulation out there. Those folks in Texas, they woke up to a week that changed their lives forever. Churches changed the way they do church for a long time. People in Florida right now, their lives as we speak in a sunny day in California, their lives are being changed at 135 plus miles an hour wind as it rips through Florida. Mexico, southern Mexico, woke up with a harsh 8.1 on the Richter scale earthquake. Life has tribulations that aren't maybe weather related. It's when you wake up. And forgive me, ladies. You wake up. And at the end of the day, the one you love is gone. Missing from your embrace. Tribulations. You go to work and they tell you that your job is terminated and you got to go home to your children or grandchildren and tell them there is no funding at this point. Tribulations come. You wake up, you don't feel well. You go to a doctor, hoping that some of that pain is just a sharp pain. But you find out there's tumors growing throughout your body. And they can't operate. Tribulations come. You find yourself one day friendless. Tribulations come. You find yourself in the midst of a storm of life that's undefinable. But you're in the center of it, not in the eye, but you're in the center of a storm of life that's undefinable, and you don't know how. When or how it's ever going to end. Tribulations come, but listen to what he says, because he's Jesus. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, in other words, be happy. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, bring your requests with thanksgiving and make them known unto God, and the Jesus Christ will guard our hearts. The peace of God will be in us. Let me tell you something. I know I paraphrased that, but let me tell you, do this. Realize that he said, I have overcome the world. This is not our resting place. This is what we're sojourning through. We will come to the finish line, all of us, one day, and we will be in heaven, and we will know him even as we are known. We shall see clearly, even though we look through a glass dimly. We shall be like him. Hallelujah. Amen.